Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week on the Screen Verdict podcast, we say goodbye to another one of our favourites. Matt, it's an emotional month.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was my farewell podcast. And I was going like, I didn't get that memo.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell you beforehand. I wanted to get your live reaction on air. Matt, how do you feel?
Yeah, no, but what you're really saying is that we're talking about another final season of a show that we like.
Yes, another HBO show. We say goodbye to Veep, season seven, the final season.
Multiple Emmy winner, multiple SV award winner, which is our own podcast awards. It's won Best Actress a number of times, Best Television Series twice. I think it's one of our two multiple winners there, so... unquestionably a favorite of the TV industry, including us.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to replace it because it was arguably one of the best comedies on television. At least that's what we thought through season six. We'll let you know if it finished as strongly. Did it cause as strong a reaction as the Game of Thrones finale?
Less people were posting about it on social media.
Yeah, I had a quick look at the ratings. It pulled in just over 1 million for the finale. So definitely not on the scale of Game of Thrones. Maybe people hated it just as much, but only about, 5 or 10% of as many people watched it. And we just haven't noticed the outrage.
Yeah. I think Veep final season. I've always liked Veep a bit more than you. I think I've been a bit more of a Veep. Like, this is, I think, one of the greatest comedies of all time.
Yeah, I always really have enjoyed Veep. I think I've given each season and some of our fans, or maybe we could get one of the interns to go back through the Veep podcast. I think I've given all of the seasons either an 8 or an 8.5. It's been pretty consistent and consistently very good, but it's just not quite at that 9 or 10 for me. I love the one-liners. I love what it says about how DC operates. I think just perhaps in terms of the storylines, doesn't quite hit those peaks that maybe Seinfeld, Arrested Development, or some of the best episodes of It's Always Sunny does.
Yeah, here's the funny thing for me. Like, Arrested Development, my favorite comedy of all time, had a bit of a weaker final season. And because of that, I'm sort of like, well, part of me is tempted to say Veep's a better show because I've actually, like, it may have not hit quite the same heights as Arrested, but it's just had six solid, consistent years. And if they can land this final season well, maybe it's like maybe one of my top three comedies of all time.
Oh, so the stakes are high. Yeah, if it nails this season, it could be in my top 10. So a top 10 and a top 3 is what's on the line for season 7 of Veep. And it finished a little while ago, and, you know, you're probably just not getting into Veep now. So we are going to talk spoilers. So, Matt, do you want to give a spoiler warning?
Spoiler alert.
Woo!
Spoilers, here we come. Veep, we're going to say how it ends. So you shouldn't be listening now if you don't want to know Veep spoilers. Have we been clear enough?
I think that was one of the most ironclad spoiler alerts we've ever given.
Yeah. I was listening to our first ever spoiler alert the other day, and I think we were like, we did belabor that one as well quite a bit.
That was just a little nostalgic exposition for you.
Yeah, I think it may have been Game of Thrones season one was our first spoiler alert. I could be wrong. Again, the interns can check, but...
very good. Well, what we decided to do was follow the campaign. So the campaign kicks off for Selena Meyer 2020 in...
The campaign for President of the United States.
President of the United States.
This isn't Little League coach or dog catcher campaign. This is the big one.
Yeah, she's been vice president. She was president but didn't win an election to become president. And then she ends up in a tied election and then loses the the presidency, kind of wanders off into obscurity, comes back. What was it? Because she helped free Tibet. That's kind of her was her platform for getting back into the presidential race as a serious contender. And now we're seeing whether she can do it.
Yeah. And yeah, so we've got this interesting race, and she's running in the primary. They never reveal what party it is in Veep. But she's running for the primary for her party's nomination. And really the season focuses on the primary challenge. Seems like this other party doesn't have their act together. They don't know what they're doing. They're in disarray. And whoever wins this nomination has a pretty good shot at the president. I guess they're running up against the Montaz, who I guess is the president.
Yes.
So they don't have their own primary because they've got the president's running again. She mustn't be doing very well because it seems like at the very end of the season we have the winner of the nominee and then it just jumps ahead to them being the president.
Yes. I guess they thought, we just want to focus on one race. That's the arc we're going to do. Let's just assume if you win one, you win the second. We're not going to build it up and then build it up again for a second race.
Must have been a boring general.
Yeah. So I'm trying to remember some of the key things that happen. We have... Yeah. One of the interesting episodes, I forget which, this actually I think I might be skipping ahead a bit, but we just want to talk about the biggest moments or our favorite moments of the season is that there keeps on being sort of tragic events which prevent her from announcing. And it's kind of like a question of like, how are these tragic events playing? Like, how can we spin this? What's the best way to react to them? And there was a funny thing about her like condemning people saying thoughts and prayers, and then she gets put on the spot to like respond to a tragedy, and she says something like, I'd just like to give out my contemplations and meditations to the victims, like I can't remember what it was, but it's like the perfect synonym to be like saying the exact same level of nothingness, but like not look like a hypocrite for criticizing thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was good. So she's running for president. There's a few other characters she's running against. Tom James is back in the hunt, played by Hugh Laurie, one of our favorites. He was her vice presidential nominee. But when there was the whole tied election, he then sort of jockeyed to try to get the presidential position. So they've had some rivalry in the past as well. And now he's putting his hat in the ring to try to be president. Is there anyone else who is running?
We have Jonah is running.
Yes. Jonah, who was a congressman. It was sort of just a bit of a nothing congressman, but he was quite controversial, trying to argue for getting rid of daylight savings time and stuff like that. And what he decided was to parlay that into – he's sort of the protest candidate, which like you wouldn't have thought like just a one-term congressman would be able to like run for president, but – I don't think just with Donald Trump. I think we've had quite a few like of these just breakout characters in the political world and political scene be able to make big waves in presidential primaries. So I sort of bought that he could throw his hat in the ring and, you know, if things fall his way, he could end up with the nomination.
I don't think I seriously bought Jonah as a legitimate contender, but yeah, I believe that he could pick up, you know, 3%, 5% of the vote by going out there and saying some crazy stuff. Yeah. I thought this half made sense for Jonah's character because he's definitely not politically correct, but I'm not sure if he's been quite as, I don't know if it's bigoted is or ignorant. Yeah, maybe ignorant. I just felt like I could see Jonah saying some of these things, but maybe not all of them. Like, it looked like they kind of bent his character to not be like a, you know, they just wanted that character for this political climate. They're like, this is the kind of person we want running. Jonah is probably the closest to that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Jonah's been the foil of everyone, like, since day one. He's sort of, you know, like, the antagonist of the series, and I think the idea that he's running for president was a tantalizing prospect for the creators, and maybe also the fans. Like, is, oh my gosh, this annoying Jonah guy, he's running for president!
Yeah, it definitely did sort of irritate everybody else on the show, and it did lead to some great scenes like the sensitivity training and Jonah just not getting any of it, and the debate scene where the moderator asks a question about the country of Niger, and he's like, I don't care how you pronounce it, I don't think you can say that word. I mean, he can, but you can't. Which I thought was pretty classic. It didn't. I feel like this, even though that's probably that kind of like tap dances, tiptoes around a sort of pretty edgy joke. I feel like this season push them jokes perhaps harder than they even further than they have in previous seasons.
Yeah. Which one, like what kinds of things? What was off limit? What was not off limits for Veep this season?
I'm trying to think of a specific example. Maybe when Selena goes off on Tom James's assistant, or is she his campaign manager, the blonde lady that he's also sleeping with? And oh, she just like rips into her for like 30 seconds. And they're not even really just jokes. They're just like mean things to say to someone.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh man, this like Veep is not holding back. Like they're going out with a bang.
Yes. Yeah, no, they definitely were. I think also, I think we'll get to that at the end when we talk about the series final. I had something else I want to say. I'll sit on that for the minute. And I really think like, we are, as you say, they're not holding back this season, and they're not like they're doubling down, as you said, with Jonah. Maybe it was to fill a particular character, but also with Selena. They're really doubling down on these are horrible people. They're not trying to like sugarcoat these characters for the final season. They're not going, oh, we want to make Selena president, so we need to make her likable so the audience roots for her. She is as horrible as she has ever been this season.
Yeah, so normally it's about kind of spinning things or saying you'll do this and kind of backstabbing someone. But in terms of the broken promises or morally questionable decisions, there were some one bigger than ever decisions made this season. For example, even though she kind of got pulled into it because of what Andrew did with her fund, she ends up kind of working or indirectly working with the Chinese government to affect the election, like polling places get like closed due to like energy blackouts or something that were in areas that were not favorable to her. So that benefits her. She says she will, she essentially freed Tibet or helped to free Tibet, and then she was totally prepared to just throw Tibet back under the bus in order to get help to win the presidency.
Yeah.
There was one other, which was the one where she was giving the speech to the to the Tibetan monks, as she's given, she's receiving an award for that very thing.
Yeah.
Because I think she's like, I've lost 4 or 5 times before. She's just at a place where she's like, I cannot lose again. Like, I'm prepared to sell my soul because I just cannot bear losing again.
Yeah, and I think this season really was a tale of someone who, like, started the series being completely self-focused and but also, like, there was a sort of level of incompetency to Selena and her staff in season one, and there still is that. They're still making mistakes all over the place in this season, but you really see how having been president, having been in that seat of power and wanting that power again can drive the self-motivated person to really do, like, be able to justify anything in order to get that power.
Yeah, I think, I feel like perhaps in the earlier seasons, a lot of the mishaps or unfortunate situations they found themselves in were due to incompetency, and I feel like they were kind of more inexperienced back then, and Mike was probably one of the goofier characters, one of the people most likely to make a slip up. Whereas in the later seasons, I mean, where you have like Ben and Kent, you know, working on her campaign, they're not incompetent. For the most part, they're quite, you know, good political operators. In the later seasons, most of the unfortunate situations they find themselves in are of their own making due to sketchy moral decisions as opposed to pure incompetency.
Yeah. That's an interesting direction, but I think sort of the progression we saw was like gradual enough where it sort of made sense for the series arc. I like wasn't watching this series going like this season going, these are totally different characters. You'd sort of seen how the journey they'd been on had taken them to this place.
Yeah, and they brought some characters back. Is Mina her name? Is she the ambassador to Finland?
Oh, yeah, she's great. I think they got her back most seasons, I think. She's a favourite.
And Selena accidentally confessed to her that, what has she done? They bombed some innocent people. And when it came out, that came out in the news, the public was totally for it. Yeah, bomb whoever you can to get the bad guys. But then it's revealed that they accidentally bombed a zoo and some elephants were killed as well. And they were not happy with that. No, bomb the innocent people, but the innocent elephants, we will not stand for it.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty funny. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff happening this season in Veep. A lot of big things are happening. Do you want to talk about anything else from the course of the season? I think there was in the debate, Selena looked in a lot of trouble, and then she did the big man up speech, which I thought was quite clever, but also like clever as a show, an angle, but also like quite dark. With this whole like sort of fairly, in some ways, misogynistic speech was given by this woman, and because it was a woman giving it, people were like, "Yeah, this is great." Like. People should man up more. Like,
yeah, it was good because it kind of it bashed the millennials in a way, which everyone loves to do, and it seemed strong and it appealed to the people that wouldn't necessarily like to vote for her just because she was a woman. But yeah, it kind of like undercut that, you know, the success of a female candidate by the most popular thing she said was man up.
Yeah. It almost, I feel like, be if like a prominent African American like politician running for president would do a big speech on how all lives matter.
Yeah. Just gotta, I don't know. I don't think there's an equivalent saying, but like, I feel like if they'd gone out there and say, "White it up, you got to white it up," it doesn't. I don't think that quite translates. But
that doesn't work.
But yes. So we have some interesting sort of like character dynamics this season as well, because Dan and Amy slept together and Amy ended up getting pregnant. And she kind of goes through this, I don't want Dan's baby. I hate Dan. Dan's a horrible person. He'd be a horrible father. But is this my last chance to have a baby? I'm so focused on work and my career and I'm getting older. And no, but it's Dan's baby. I don't want Dan's baby. Which was quite sad, but sort of like an interesting kind of spot to put Amy in, and resulted in, yeah, what a pretty dark scene, but what ended up being quite funny is where Dan hits on the gynecologist that performed the procedure on Amy, and yeah, he's hitting on her and he's like, do I know you from somewhere? And she's like, yeah, you brought a woman into my clinic. And he's like, you're gonna need to be more specific.
Like, yeah,
I love characters getting caught out on something and just doubling down.
Yeah, that's funny. And I also liked how, I remember like in season two, I think it was, having this big abortion discussion, and Dan's sort of like, I effing love abortions, but I'd like
change. But I'll hate it if you want me to.
What's that?
I think the line was, I love abortions, but I'll hate them if you want me to.
I think it was like, I would change my position in a like a fetal heartbeat if it meant winning or something like that.
Oh, gosh.
I thought that was funny, like in the last season, he's actually not just, it's like not purely a political thing for Dan, but he's actually like in an abortion clinic and it's sort of a much more personal thing to like, but he's still approaching it very like politically.
Yeah, I think, and I think we'll touch on this at the end, but I feel like Dan's character felt like very true to Dan this season.
Mm.
Like I believe the sort of, the choices that Dan made. And one of the funny sort of storylines that he got was working with Richard, one of my favorite characters.
Because Dan sleeps with Selena.
Yeah, and instantly gets fired.
Yeah, which, like, if you told me Dan sleeps with Selena, like, you know, early in the series, I would have thought that's going to be a big thing. And I'm not really on board with that happening. I think it's going to, like, you know, be a bit too messy, or like just not, we don't really want to show about relationships in the office, and also I wouldn't have bought it completely and stuff. How did you find just that move?
I thought it was fine because it didn't lead to any boring, like, oh, there's like tension. There's tension, yeah, in the campaign office. It was just that episode. I think was it, it was either the end of the episode or the start of the next episode. So pretty much instantly after, they're just like, see you, Dan, you're out. Like, Selena wasn't dealing with it. And I'm like, oh, that's great, because I don't want to deal with that as an audience member. Yeah. So
they used it to put Dan in the position they needed him in for the back half of the season, which was good. They brushed over it quick. They didn't dwell on it. It was just like a 5-second shot of them in bed and then like a 10-second shot of him being fired. It was in the last season too, which I think is like better than it happening early in the run and then that being something that hangs over the series. So,
and it kind of made sense that, like, because it might not be in the way you think it would happen, but sort of like Dan's, I'm looking for the term, not philandering because he's not in a relationship, but just sort of like his playboy nature like does come back to bite him, because normally, yeah, he's using it for information or for like power, like work his way up, and like he never seems to face any consequences for his actions, and then he makes a move, you know, presidential candidate, she looks like she's in a good position to win, he's like, oh yeah, this is definitely a shrewd political move, which is all of what Dan's about, and it finally bit him as he got dropped.
Yeah. No, it's good. And yeah, but you brought that up because talking about the Richard Splett of it all, who has quite the season.
The 7-Eleven hero.
Yeah. So, yeah, that I thought that scene was very well handled, how he's on the Skype call or whatever, and then, like, oh, something, like, just, I thought that was acted perfectly. I just thought that was so funny.
Yeah. How he said. He's kind of, him paired with Dan is a great partnership, because he's a very good-natured person. He's very likable. He cares about issues, but has no real political ambition or real sort of understanding of how, you know, the seedy underbelly of politics works. And so Dan keeps on getting him to do all these certain things, or he does things and Dan is like, this is amazing. And Richard doesn't even know why it's amazing, but he keeps on working his way up. You know, Dan can't ride his coattails all the way. And even though they were kind of a fun pair, it made sense that in the end that Richard would have to fire Dan.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought it was a good pairing. I thought that worked well. And we'll get to the final in a second. But I did, like, because of that, he gets made mayor of the town because he saves the 7-Eleven. And then there's an opening for lieutenant governor. The lieutenant governor has to resign or dies or something. So then Richard gets that. He gets appointed there because the governor's like, oh, good thing. So much goodwill towards this mayor. He's doing such a good job. Then he ends up being – and I think when he, like, got promoted to the lieutenant governor, I turned to Mum, who I was watching the show with, and I was like, the series is going to end with him being president. He's on this meteoric rise. Like, he's just every episode getting, like, a higher position of power. Like,
and there was a really good connection, because I think, was it the governor gets sick because Jonah gives him chicken pox?
Yeah.
Chicken pox or measles or something, because he didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, one of them. Yeah, I think it's the measles, maybe.
So I liked how those two storylines tied in together, and so he could help Richard keep rising up the ranks.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so we've got, let's talk a bit about the final now. The final episode of the series. It's a big one.
Yeah, so it all comes down to the, what is it, the convention? No one has enough delegates, and it's kind of a negotiation for who will back who to help whom get over the line. And Selena kind of screws over Tom by getting his campaign manager to say that he made unruly advances, etc., which they had an interesting relationship, because they were teammates, then they were foes, then they were lovers, and then they hated each other. And that was just another example of, like, Selena being prepared to screw over whoever, however, to get what she wanted, regardless of how that played out in the media or affected his, you know, family. She's like, nah, you're going down. Next one up.
He was so mad. I think that's the maddest I've seen anyone at Selena over the course of the series.
I think you'd have to love someone to, like, get that angry at them.
Yeah, I also think, like, could you think of anything worse someone could do to you than get someone to come forward and, like, put you as part of the Me Too movement?
Yeah.
And tear your family apart.
Yeah, it's pretty up there.
Like, it was pretty, like, because I'm not sure, like, because he, like, was that character the chief of staff he was sleeping with? Like, she was putting on, like, crocodile tears, right? Like, because she was promised a job with Selena. Like, that was a political move. It wasn't that she had felt abused, was it?
Yeah, it was all to Yeah, it was helping out Selena. She fully, consciously, awarely decided to enter into a relationship with Tom, but when the time came to it, she decided to screw him over.
That's pretty low.
Yep.
But, and this is the great thing, it's a super, it's a despicable thing to do. It's obviously a horrible thing to do because people are really abused every day or taken advantage of by their bosses in workplaces, and like anyone coming forward with fake accusations like makes that harder for the people who really are affected by these things. So unquestionably a despicable thing and a horrible thing for Tom and a horrible thing to do, but it was sort of something of his own making too. Like he was cheating on his wife. He was like you didn't really have any sympathy for Tom at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, he was cheating, and you could say, you know, that's sort of inappropriate in a workplace, like you're her boss.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, did he force her or harass her? No, that was all made up. But yeah, Tom, you play the Game of Thrones. You know, you're playing with Cersei. Selena, yeah. she don't mess around. She takes no prisoners.
And she actually had a few tricks up her sleeve for the last season. Selena Meyers.
Let's see.
She's just not at the top of the castle sipping wine. She's making big moves.
Well, one move that some of her staff doesn't like, I think it forces Kent to leave the campaign, is she decides to team up with Jonah.
Yes, because Jonah has become a pretty hot commodity at the convention because he had this appealing to the darkest forces of whoever. Put out this idea that maths teachers are terrorists because maths, little did you know, came from, is it Arabic invention?
Arabic this numerals.
This is Al-Qaeda or ISIS or whatever the terrorist group is in the Veep world. This is therein, maths. And fortunately, while the convention's happening, a maths teacher commits an act of terrorism or shooting or something like that. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh, that Jonah was onto something. Maybe he should. So he actually has a pretty big. He has his own crack at getting the nomination.
It sounds so ridiculous, but a poll came out just a couple weeks ago of should we be teaching Arabic numerals in American schools, and I forget the number, but it was like 51% of people thought we shouldn't be or something. It's like those are numbers. Those are just regular numbers.
Yeah.
Not that crazy. Not that crazy a storyline.
And here's a like question, Jonathan, you don't have to answer. If someone who had crossed the Mexican border in America was to commit a mass terrorist act tomorrow, what would poll numbers for the wall look like?
Yeah. This was...
It didn't go on.
Yeah, could not have been timed more perfectly for Jonah and his crazy incoherent ramblings. But yeah, sometimes the political gods they gift you the right tragedy at the right time.
So he's offered vice president, and then Amy, who has been running his campaign, even pleads with Selena to not have him be vice president, which I thought was a bit weird for Amy because it did seem like she was playing hardball to get in this nomination.
I think in part she just wanted to stick it to Selena.
Yeah.
And then when it came down to negotiating Jonah's endorsement, that she would be able to get something out of it. I don't think she really ever thought that Jonah was going to become president or vice president.
I'll buy that. But Jonah gets to be vice president. Started from the bottom, now I'm here.
And someone we haven't really talked enough about, Gary.
Yes.
Who is an interesting character because he just cares so much about Selena, does everything for Selena. She shows him no respect or kindness except for maybe in the most fleeting of moments. And yet he's completely enamored by her and supports her. And he's kind of funny because he seems kind of good natured, but he can also like join in on the jokes as well. Like making fun of Amy for gaining weight when she's pregnant. They don't know she's pregnant, but like they're always just like, they're always just making fun of her. And then she says she like goes to, she's going to throw up or something. And he's like, well, she needs it. Like, so brutal, but like it's kind of funnier coming from Gary because it's kind of like unexpected. It's like, why does he hate Amy so much?
Like, and I think like he's not doing it to be cruel like some of the others, but he's like just sort of got this unvarnished like honesty, brutal honesty. Yeah. Gary, like, I think especially when it comes to people's appearance, I guess he's so focused on Selena and how she should look with the lipstick and the like dress and stuff, it sort of spills over to other people.
And he sort of, as an example of his obliviousness, Selena asks him to start or he has some sort of like faith campaign. It's
The faith-based initiative.
The faith-based initiative.
Yeah, he's like, I've been working for you for so long, Selena, I should have more responsibility. And she's like, not sure. And then she's like, oh, we need someone to do this. Yeah, you can run the faith-based initiative. And he gets super into it.
Yeah, and they end up laundering or hiding a bunch of foreign money in that account. And he's like, people like the presentation. The people have gone nuts for the video. We've made like $25 million. And
Which is interesting because the actor who plays Gary, Tony Hale, is actually like a Christian guy who does his own, like sort of goes to church and things like that too. So that's sort of interesting. He was given the faith-based initiative to run on the series. One of that was a little sort of nod to him.
One of our favorites in the show, and Arrested Development. Yeah, it's a battle for Matt. Which Tony Hale show is his favorite?
Yeah.
And so Gary ends up being, in a way, the ultimate sacrificial lamb of all the things that Selena does this season. And you can argue that others had far more global impact and were morally worse. The one that hit the hardest was definitely throwing Gary under the bus for, I believe, the misdeeds of Andrew. Someone needed to fall for the to take the blame for this illegal money, and he's the one that has to go. Look, as much as I care about Gary, and Gary is the only person really here that would actually like die for me and isn't just doing this for like political reasons, she's prepared to let him go too, because literally nothing at this point will stop her from trying to get the presidency.
Yes. Now, clearly there were two worst things that she did. One was agreed to unfree Tibet.
Yep.
A whole nation is now like undemocratically become under Chinese rule. And the other was to repeal gay marriage and to outlaw gay marriage.
Oh, yes.
They were the two sort of political calculations she had to make in order to secure that nomination. The third was throw Gary under the bus, and I agree with you, not as bad as those two, but I think that one, like, more than those two, highlights just she has no limits. Like, yes. Even the closest person to her most loyal person, she will knife to get power.
So my sort of thought process on this was kind of disproven by the, I guess, epilogue of the show. I felt like the gay marriage one could potentially not have been as bad because that was a backroom promise to Buddy Calhoun. She gets his delegates and wins the presidency. She has no need to follow through on that, as far as I can tell. Whereas the Tibet thing, there's going to be then a big problem with China, and then, you know, that could cause her problems. Whereas the gay marriage one, she ends up following through on it in the, as we find out. So it makes my thought process moot. But at the time, I was kind of like, I'm going to semi give you a pass on this one because I feel like it can be undone.
Yeah, it's more like she'll, like at that point, it's like she'll say anything to get it elected. She won't just like do anything. Like, you know, that's not saying she's done yet. It's just she's prepared to say that was what was shocking.
So she's prepared to say and do these things, and it works. Selena, yeah. In the final episode, she finally wins the presidency. But yeah. What did it cost her?
And we've got the final scene before the epilogue is Jonah, who is the vice president, trying to meet with the president, and Sue won't let him in to see the president, which was, I thought, just a brilliant full circle from the first season where you've got Selena not being able to see the president. I thought that was a beautiful way, and also like brought it around wonderfully by also, I think, Jonah was like, I'm from the White House, bitch, and like he was sort of like acting really cool, and now he is the vice president. like the person that he was making fun of in the first season, and Selena's now the person that she couldn't get to see in the first season, and Sue's back. I'm really glad they brought Sue back because she hasn't been in the show for the last two seasons, and she was one of the OGs, so that was a wonderful last scene. I always think what would have made it slightly better is maybe, like, it then goes in and you see Selena sitting at the Oval Office. Part of me wouldn't mind it if it just ended with the closed door and you don't actually see her in there. Like, you know, sort of like she's the unseen president that the guy was in season one who you never saw.
Yeah, I would have liked that.
But they wanted a shot of Julia behind the Oval, like, behind, you know, like, I get why they did it. It wasn't bad. I just think it would have been.
So what did you think of the epilogue? What do we find out?
Yeah, part of me, like, I'm in two minds. Part of me thinks maybe it would have been just to end without the epilogue, just end with her as president, Jonah as vice, not getting to see her. But I did quite like a lot of the things that came up in the epilogue. I think it was done quite well and gave a nice little cap off for all the characters. So
We find out forward 30 something years, I think.
Yeah.
Selena has passed, and so we get reactions from Mike, who's still doing his show.
He's the anchor of CBS News now or something like that.
We find out that she will be most remembered for, what was it, permanently repealing gay marriage or something they said.
Yeah. and Tibetan occupation or something. Like, yeah. Horrible legacy. History will not probably look fondly on the Maya presidency. Dan's moved to LA to be a real estate agent. I think that was very Dan.
Yeah, he's very tan, selling homes in Huntington Beach. I thought that was quite funny. Kent had become a hippie. He was the kind of the robot numbers guy. Now he just is, he's got a ponytail. He's a free thinker.
Yeah. Where was Amy? I can't remember what Amy's story was.
I don't remember either. How did it end for Amy? Who's the guy? Who's the obnoxious guy that, like, would always get his assistant to, like, self-burn himself with, like, disgusting one-liners?
Congressman Furlong.
I'm not sure I really bought that, like, that guy would still – they'd still have that dynamic, like, 40 years later. Like, surely he would have got a different job or, like, moved into, like, another career, but – the fact that they were like 80 years old and he was still like making fun of himself, but the jokes were not very good because he was now sort of losing it, was like very sad, but probably the funniest bit of the epilogue.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gary, in what must be the saddest scene of the season, is standing at the casket. And he leaves her favorite lipstick on the coffin.
Yeah, he went to jail for, I don't know, 10 years or something. And Dan says something about that Selena never even called him. Brutal. Brutal. What a depressing end for Gary.
Yeah. But I think it's a good end, because I think, like, as much as we liked Gary as much as a sort of, like, innocent character he is, I think, like, Gary's the cautionary tale for, like, you know, don't, you know, like, Selena was a horrible person, and he had no reason to be that loyal to someone that horrible. Like, and I think it made sense that that was going to be his ultimate, like, that's the consequence you get for devoting your life to someone who is cruel.
Yeah, that's Shakespearean.
Yeah.
I guess
he was happy to, here we go. Here's my light critique of Gary. He was happy to stand around and see her treat other people horribly.
Yes.
That was acceptable to him.
Yes.
So he got what he deserved.
And I guess Richard probably had the happiest ending.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, my prediction was correct. Richard, end of the series, as president.
which I enjoyed. Richard, probably a little bit Gary-esque, but maybe, I don't know, he was prepared to fire Dan, was maybe like a little bit more sort of held himself to a higher moral standard.
Yeah, Richard was not...
He was not loyal. A follower. He was not. He's not as much of a follower. But I think he was Gary-esque in that he was like good-natured and mild-mannered and a bit oblivious to the political things that were going on.
Look, I don't think there are any heroes in the Veep story, and I think even Richard, like, if I say what his big character flaw is, it is he will stand by while people do horrible things and just smile, like, you know, he. You know, sort of, we have a saying at one of the schools I work at. I think it's just copied from someone else, though. It's like the behavior you walk past is the behavior you accept. And he was happy to walk past a lot of unacceptable behavior. That being said, I don't think he had that obsession with Selena that Gary did, where he's all late. He was happy to move on from people, and he was not like loyal to a fault. He sort of avoided the fray a lot. Like, he just didn't get in a lot of the political sort of arguments and fights and didn't take principled stands. I do think he probably is the most moral character of the show, Richard. Yes. 'Cause I think when it's up to him to make the call, he will often make the right call. He just was happy to let other people make bad calls along the way.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Was there anything else you wanted to add about the epilogue or the show, or are we ready to give it a verdict?
I think we can give it a verdict. I think some of the – it was a much more Trumpy season this season, which I think worked really well with the characters that we had on the show and stuff. I think a few things, like having people wear red hats to the Jonah rally, was a bit unnecessary. Because they're not living in a world where Donald Trump invented the red hat. I don't know why Jonah supporters are also wearing red hats.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
There you go. Oh, well, that's good. It wasn't a big thing. yeah, let's give it a verdict.
All right. Veep, season 7, the final season. Overall, I really enjoyed it. I thought... in terms of the one-liners, the jokes, it was just as good as ever. Laugh out loud, funny. They pack in a million per episode. I'm always very impressed with the writing. Really impressed with the character dynamics and the way Selena's campaign built throughout the season to get her to the presidency. And... I thought everything sort of tied together in a way that made sense, but wasn't necessarily that funny.
Mm.
If this had been a drama, if this was basically, you know, the Boardwalk Empire, like Boardwalk Empire, but about politics, it was a really sort of poetically written finale. But it's a comedy show, and I feel like you have to kind of balance the two, and maybe in the final episode, for me, they just tipped more towards the dramatic than the funny. But as you're right, these aren't great people. You know, we're not watching these people because we like them. We're watching them because, you know, we want to see what crazy decision they make next and how they pay for their mistakes. So I'm not saying a happy ending was in order. I just maybe I didn't laugh as much in the last 5 or 10 minutes as I did in most other episodes. Jonah still as funny as ever, but I thought it felt a little bit manufactured to say something about the current political climate. But you know, it's a political show, so I'll allow him a little bit of leeway here and there. Overall, a very strong season, a fitting season. Did Veep proud, did it justice. I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I think this was a really strong final season. I think it was – I agree with you. The final episode maybe not as funny, but I think it was a pretty funny season on the whole. I don't think this last season didn't pack jokes. So I was laughing a lot. I think there were still some funny bits in the final. And I think what they've done, Veep, really interesting. From about season 3 onwards, maybe from the end of season 2, the show really turn into this rather than just the day in the life of the vice presidency, this sort of story, you know, where we see different characters, we see people jockeying for power, similar to Game of Thrones, and you got all these different people that all want the top job and how they're going to get it. And we follow, unlike Game of Thrones, we're more from the perspective of one particular candidate or one particular character. And I think what they did this season really well is they tied everything together. They, you know, finished off people's arcs. They gave people their stories, and they sort of had a very gripping, not sure exactly how it's going to end final run, which was exciting and funny. And I think satisfying in the way it was unsatisfying. And I think they really landed the plane well on this show. I think this is one of the great, this is what it like, because we've done a few series finals and there's very few that are good. I don't think this was as good as the Breaking Bad final, but I think it was up there. And wow. I think this was one of the best series finals I've seen and final seasons I've seen of a show.
Wow.
So I'm going to give it 9 out of 10.
9, very good. Wow.
What's a better season final? Final season, sorry. What's a better final season than this one?
Good question. I would say I'm actually struggling to think of a comedy's a little bit different because I don't know. Yeah. I'm just going to throw some out there. I thought The Wire ended very strongly. The Shield had a fantastic finale. Breaking Bad had a fantastic finale. Boardwalk Empire had a fantastic finale.
Yeah, I don't like that as much, but you did. So, yeah, fair enough, yeah.
People didn't really like the Seinfeld finale. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know if it's greatest of all time, but I liked it more than – I don't think it deserved the controversy.
I'd like to re-watch the Seinfeld finale, but I've got in my head that it has been unfairly – it wasn't a great episode of Seinfeld, but all the hate for it seems a bit over the top.
Yeah, I don't think it's one of the best episodes of Seinfeld, but, you know – A mediocre episode of Seinfeld, still great. I guess it's no longer the finale, but the final episode of season 3 of Arrested Development's one of the best episodes.
Well, I'd agree with that. I think it's on the I think this one's on the level of the Arrested Development season 3 final. I'm not sure if that counts as a final.
You're insane. What's that? I think it counts as a final because they wrote it as a final. I think it counts as a final because they wrote it as a final.
Because when
we say, is something a good finale or not, we're not saying, is something a good literal last episode of a show? I mean, we don't really care about the fact or the number. We're saying, were they able to tie together all of the show's characters and storylines to give us a satisfying ending. The fact that they rebooted it later on, I don't think changes the fact that we're assessing how good did they wrap up a show, and they did an amazing job of it.
Okay, I would say that that episode, which is called Development Arrested, is better than this final. But I think this final, there's not a huge gap between them. I think they're both very satisfying ends that tie up a lot of the loose ends in a good way.
This is no Dexter.
No. It's no Dexter. It's no Lost. It's no Game of Thrones. They did it right.
So we were not infuriated. It did not get our rage, our wrath, our get us buzzing like the Game of Thrones finale got the internet going for their finale. But let us know your thoughts. If you're a fan of Veep, let us know whether you agree or disagree, whether you like the final season, the final episode. Just let us know. Facebook.com/ScreenVerdictPodcast.
I'm just quick at looking because I didn't read much about the press. So I don't know what the response was. I don't think it was as negative as the Game of Thrones final. So I just did a Google News search for Veep final just to see what the first sort of headlines that come up are. Washington Post, in satisfying Veep finale, Selena gets what she wanted. Vulture, Veep is over, is America next?
Clickbait.
IndieWire, Veep review, the series final is a terrific ending. Buttigieg makes a joke about the Veep finale. Newsday, Veep review, Selena final was absolutely perfect, or series final was absolutely perfect. Hollywood here we go. Oh, no, that's not a big publication. Someone made the Cersei Lannister reference you did in the heading.
So people liked it is what you're saying.
Yeah. Hollywood Reporter, Veep series final. Final Tom Hanks joke explained.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Her service gets interrupted.
Vanity Fair, how Veep did what Game of Thrones couldn't.
You know, I feel like it's a bit of an unfair comparison because I feel like Game of Thrones had a much tougher task.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's unfortunate for Game of Thrones that they are both HBO shows ending in the same year, but have both won the Emmy for Best Series their past three seasons, and they both, like, lean heavily into, especially for the final season, political machinations.
Yeah. You could definitely argue that Veep did it better, but I think Game of Thrones had a higher degree of difficulty, so...
Yeah.
Got to take that into account.
Yeah. I think Veep still wins. But
it depends. Yeah, are we talking finale or whole season? Whole season, I gave it a better score. Actually, even probably the finale was a bit better, even though I didn't hate it as much as some people did.
Rubbish. I didn't like the Game of Thrones finale much at all. I think you liked it more than me.
It made sense. It just wasn't exciting. It was just kind of like, okay.
I didn't get stuff with you. Anyway, we can listen to our Game of Thrones podcast. I don't think the last half. Anyway, don't get me started. Housekeeping. Do you have any housekeeping?
Nope.
I do. So we always love listener feedback. We always love it when people get onto us on our Facebook page. Facebook page is probably the best way to shoot us a message or send us a post up your thoughts or comments and things. I actually got some listener feedback this week via phone call. We don't give out our phone number, but Dutchie, our friend Dutchie gave me a call this week, Jonathan. because he just listened to our Endgame podcast and he loved it.
Oh, thanks, Dutch.
He said it was really good. Thanks very much. Yeah. And then he said, I also listened to the Game of Thrones one, and that one wasn't very good.
Ah, well, 1 out of 2 ain't bad. Yeah, I think he liked Game of Thrones more than us. I think he was perhaps a bit disappointed that we, even though I didn't hate it as much as most of the internet did. I think Dutchie's a big fan of the show.
He said I had the funniest line in it. but that was about it. So he's like, oh, you gave Bran the best player of the season. What are you, nuts? And he said, oh, Jonathan gave it to Arya. Like, yo, that wasn't even much better. Game of Thrones, mild Game of Thrones spoilers coming up for people listening. So then I said, well, who would you have given the player of the season to? Do you know who he would have given player of the season to?
Yeah.
Bron.
I mean, that's a hell of a play if you are awarded player of the season, if you appear in literally two scenes all season.
He said they were the best two scenes of the season.
Look, it's not the worst suggestion because, look, Bron does end up very well. Like, if you look...
Well, that was his pitch. Like, he gets the most expense... He has the most money out of anyone at the end of the season.
If you just plot from A to B who progresses the most, Bron is certainly in the conversation. I just think the stakes for him were a little bit lower and there's less evidence of him doing anything that amazing, making any specific interesting or entertaining plays to get him from A to B. I did enjoy those two scenes. I just think it's tough to qualify for MVP.
I think also when he ends sitting around with a table full of people that are of similar good positions.
Yeah. You could argue that those are if you might prefer one or the other, but you know, I think if you entertain Bron, you can certainly entertain Brienne. I mean, she's on the council. She became a knight, what she always wanted. Did get her heart broken, but you know,
she's probably better off without him.
Yeah, it was. I think in the long run, good heartbreak.
Yeah, yeah. We've all had people that we've had strong, like, you know, we've been in love with or had strong feelings for, and like in hindsight, we go, "Well, boy, glad they broke my heart." Anyway, enough. But yeah, no, always good to get the feedback, Dutch, the positive and the negative. Always love hearing his thoughts.
Yeah, we'll try to do better next time. Unfortunately, there's no more Game of Thrones, so we can't do, unless they do a prequel or a reboot or something, but...
I think they are doing a prequel series.
There you go. We'll try to do better when we review the prequel series.
Better call Bran, I think it's good. Maybe better call Bron.
Yeah. Maybe. The half hour sitcom.
Yeah.
I would watch that. I'm more excited about that than an actual Game of Thrones prequel.
Than the Children of the Forest.
Yeah.
Or whatever they're doing. Yeah.
All right.
Cool. I think we're done. I think that might be it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we've had with feedback or anything going on. Not really.
Well, there you go. Let us know what you thought. Let us know if there's any particular shows that are out or films that are out that you would like us to review. We're always interested to. We want to keep our finger on the pulse, and we know, you know, we have a trendy audience, so we're always keen to hear what you're interested in. But till next week, we hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll see you then.
Goodbye.